Santina Hughes is the founder and owner of Serenity Creative Agency. She has a Bachelor of Music and a Bachelor of Education from Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. Santina is connected to music in many ways, but especially through her love of theater, performance, and her years of teaching private voice, piano, and ukulele to students of all ages and abilities.
She was previously the marketing manager and production coordinator for a theater production company in Kingston, and she has continued to develop those skills and hone her passion for marketing in her own business endeavors. Santina began her small business selling stickers in 2020 and launched Serenity Creative Agency in April 2023. She joins us on the podcast to share about her experiences of creating a brand and navigating changes that come along with that. So let's get into it. Hello. Today, we are excited to be joined by someone who has been a longtime partner of Synergy Music Therapy and Wellness Services, and we're very excited for her to share everything that she is doing in her company and to share some tips and tricks of the trade. So we are excited to welcome Santina to the podcast. Hi, Santina.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. It's so nice to have you here to join us and talk about everything that you do within your world. You know, we're grateful to have gotten to partner with you over the years in creating our stickers, and you do so much beyond that, and I'm constantly in marvel of everything that you do. So thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the branding and marketing world and everything, we like to bring a little bit more of the music into the podcast, you know, as we are a music therapy podcast. And although you're not a music therapist, you are a very musical person and have lots of roots in musical theater and just music that, you know, resonates with you. So I'm wondering if there is an important song on your playlist right now, and if you can share a little bit about why that's important to you.
I love this question. This song, it's one of those songs when you hear the first time and you wish you had heard it years and years and years ago. It was one of my best friends who said to me, have you heard this song? It's called So Will I by Ben Platt. I don't know if either of you have listened to it before. I had never listened to the song before, and she played it in the car and I just sobbed. And it was one of those songs. It is a love song, but the way I approach it really ties into my entrepreneurial journey. But just for those of you who haven't listened to it, it's essentially this song that is really just stating all the anxieties that one might encounter. This song, again, specifically to love, but in life in general. And it's noticing that, okay, we're bound to not have all the answers. We're bound to make mistakes. And the most important thing is that it's okay to, and that you're going to learn from it. And you might not have all the answers right now, and that's totally okay. We're not supposed to. And so for me, and I'm excited to talk more about my entrepreneurial journey, but it's been a lot of not knowing and trying to figure it out as we go, and trying things that work and trying things that doesn't work, and just learning from those experiences. So this song really takes me back to acknowledging and accepting that nobody's journey is going to be perfect, but it's the people who you surround yourself with who are there to help and support you every step of the way. So in all honesty, I start every day now listening to this song. And I sing it to my cats, and it's just a beautiful moment, a beautiful way to just put myself in the mindset of, it's okay if I don't have all the answers. We're going to figure it out as we go, and we're just going to follow our kind of intuition with all it is what we do. So it's probably my song of the playlist, probably for the whole year.
That's beautiful, especially coming out of a time where everyone has experienced so much uncertainty. There's so many ebbs and flows, so many ups and downs. That kind of intention or mantra to begin your day, I think, allows for grace for you to go through your day knowing that not every moment needs to be planned out perfectly or executed perfectly, that you'll still get to the destination that you're meant to be. Beautiful. I'll have to go and listen to that. I think I've heard it before, but I can't hear it in my head.
Yeah, I think I might have heard it as well. Same with Haley. I can't place it, but it's a Ben Platt song, so it's got to be a beauty.
And that's why I was so shocked. I was like, why haven't I heard this song before? I was like, and I've listened to a lot of his albums, but for some reason, it just kind of skipped over. But I'm a very intentional person as well. So I'm like, this song is now coming in, and I'm experiencing this at a very important part of my life. And so it was just this really cool, like, okay, I can breathe. I think I can exhale. Like it's everything is going to be okay, especially kind of in the entrepreneurial journey. There's so much, you're on your own for a lot of it, right? And it's that reminder that, again, like, we don't know what's going to happen, but if we make mistakes, we have to accept that. But it's, how can we learn from it? How can we grow from it? And how can we find those people who are always going to be in our corner to support us, no matter the outcome?
There's another Ben Platt song. I think it's called Grow As You Go.
Beautiful.
We did a sticker that said Grow As You Go. I think it's on one of the sticker sheets that we collaborated on. So I think it's very fitting because that's part of our culture. Part of the things that we try to put out in the podcast too is just that part of life is the growth that you experience and embracing that along your journey. And you've had a beautiful growth period. So I wonder, we always want to get to know our guests a little bit more before we start diving into all of the kind of tangible, tactical things that people can take away or learnings. But we want to get to know you a little bit more and learn what your journey has been like. If you want to start it, what you were doing before you got into creating your stickers and starting that sticker business, and then what prompted you to take that new direction.
Yeah, so flashback to COVID. I know nobody likes to kind of reminisce on those years. There was a lot of sadness and a lot of, I think everybody just experienced the, again, unknowing. But March 2020, I was just about to graduate with my undergrad in vocal performance at Queen's. So my final recital got canceled. I was supposed to direct a show that got canceled. So many things were getting canceled. And it was a really, again, scary time in the sense that we didn't know what was going on. We thought we'd be back to normal in a few months, and we weren't. So I was in Con Ed at Queen's. So I still had one final year of my Bachelor of Education. And that summer of 2020, I needed something. I needed something to do. I needed something creative to do. I was on a Zoom call with my friends and I kind of said, they're like, you know, you love crafts. Like, what if you did some kind of craft? I was like, you know what? I was like, what if I just made stickers? And they kind of looked at me and I was like, I've loved stickers growing up. Like, I had a sticker box. I was like, I always stuffed that. I have it right in front of me as well. I'll kind of get into that story too. But stickers have always been such a beautiful part of my childhood and growing up. And I was like, you know what? I'll just make some stickers. They're colorful. They're fun. I'll send them to people. At the very least, they're going to get a little surprise in the mail and have just like a glimpse of joy during this very uncertain time. That's exactly what I did. I was drawing stickers on my iPad. I learned how to hook up a Cricut. And then I just started posting them on social media. And literally one thing led to another and people started asking for them and they wanted to pay me to make stickers. And I was like, oh, that's weird. I was like, do you just want? And they're like, no, like, let me pay you. And I remember I was hand cutting all of my stickers at the time. And I remember getting a message on Instagram and somebody was asking for 100 stickers of their logo. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I remember my mom saying, you're not going to hand cut 100 stickers. Go get yourself a Cricut. Go invest in this. It's kind of like a hobby. So I called it just like coffee money on the side. It was so fun. I was making stickers. I was making ones that resonated with me. I was making ones for my friends. My favorite question, and it's funny because some of these are still the best designs I have today, was some of my friends saying, oh, can you make me a sticker that reminds you of me? And so one of my stickers is still one of the top selling stickers anywhere I go, is a sticker that my friend just said, make something that it inspires you of me. So the stickers were such a big creative outlet for me, but also connection as well. So I was connecting with people online. I was really seeing the power that social media had to create an online community. And so I completed my Bachelor of Education. I always knew that I wasn't meant for classroom teaching. I was way much more drawn to arts education, community arts education. And to me, going into a school board with a high school music and drama teachable, I knew I would just be fighting for programs. And I didn't have it in me. I didn't think I was ready to do that. So I got a job on paper that should have been great for me. It was out of the city. It was an arts administrative job. It was a 9-to-5, and I lasted 2 weeks. It was the worst 2 weeks of my life. And I can laugh about it now, but I was in this situation where I was like, oh, it's going to be great. Again, on paper, really great for me, but it wasn't it. And I said to myself, I was like, this isn't how I want to live my life. I do not want to be restricted. I would have had to give up so many things, my stickers. I was teaching privately at the time. I had so many other things going on that I would have to have given up. So I said, this isn't it. I'm going to move in with my mom and we're going to figure out next step. Moved in with my mom, still making stickers. I started my real estate license because I loved properties. I needed flexibility. I loved people. And then the stickers really just started to take off. And so I was doing markets. I was connecting with business owners. I kind of found my niche of doing logo stickers because I didn't realize the kind of accessibility of ordering bulk stickers, or maybe somebody just needed 5 stickers. They're not going to go to, let's say, Vistaprint to print 1,000 of them, right? It's going to be more cost effective to find somebody local. So I was meeting business owners, going to markets. And every time I would meet people in person, they'd say, like, your social media is really good. And I was like, oh, thanks. Thanks. And they're like, can you make me a reel? Or like, can you still design, right? I was like, yeah, I draw my stickers. They're like, can you draw me a logo? I was like, sure. They're like, how much do you want for it? I was like, $50. Okay. I was like, I don't know what you charge for logos. So I was just creating for people. I was connecting with these business owners, and I found myself doing so much organic educating as well, which for me was really fulfilling. So it was May 2022 that I launched a trial marketing program, and I kind of put it out there on my sticker page. I had grown the account and I was like, hey, a lot of people are asking for some help and guidance. I'm launching this program just to see what happens. And so I got 5 clients right away. And I tell people from there, it really just snowballed. And I didn't realize how many local small businesses, local entrepreneurs needed some guidance when it came to social media management, to branding, design. And a really big key kind of indicator for me was I would meet these business owners at markets and I would hear their story and I'd listen to them and I'd be so intrigued by who they are and inspired by their story. And then I would go to their Instagram and I'm like, there's no cohesion there. Like, what you're telling me in person is fantastic, but how can we communicate that online? And so I'm excited to kind of get into the marketing and branding because it's all storytelling. It's how we tell our business's stories. So from there, again, things just really started to grow. People were reaching out and I was building my portfolio of clients. I worked with some really, really cool local entrepreneurs. I just really started out with social media, but then started to expand into logo design, with website design as well. And then looking at like marketing as, I call it kind of like my marketing puzzle, like how businesses can create this marketing puzzle that is going to effectively communicate their brand. All of this was still under Santina Sticker Box, which was confusing for a lot of people. I was not ready to give up the name. And at that time too, when things were growing, I joined this entrepreneurship program to kind of for startups. And the first thing the business coach said to me was, I'm confused. And I was like, well, let me explain it to you. And she said, you shouldn't have to explain it to me. And I said, you know what? That's correct. As somebody who was offering logos and branding, it became very apparent that if I'm going to provide these professional services for business owners, I myself have to start as an example of it. So from there, I was like, well, I'm not getting rid of the sticker box. That will stay forever because that's my starting point of my entrepreneurial journey. I had to rebrand. And I was terrified. People knew me by my name. I would be in coffee shops and people would come up to me and start talking to me as if we were friends forever. And I'm like, I was too scared to ask, like, what's your Instagram handle? Like, what do we, have we met? And I'm pretty good with names, but I was getting recognized. And I was like, I don't want that to go away when I rebrand, because I know this is going to be strictly the marketing and branding page now. So one of the things that I did do was to try my best. And it got easier as the process went on, but to enjoy the process of rebranding, to enjoy this new company that essentially I was launching, right? It's still, so April 3rd was our official launch date as Serenity Creative Agency, which was such a crazy, crazy, crazy time. But it really was trying to enjoy the process, getting my community involved as well. I started at the beginning of February, I started sharing like things are going to change and it's going to be a big change and I'm scared about it. And I was very transparent about it. And it was so cool because then I would go to client shoots and I would meet with people and I kid you not, every person would be like, what's the name of your new business? I can't wait to find out. And I was like, whoa, people are actually excited. I was like, oh my gosh, like I didn't realize how many people I had backing me up and encouraging me on this process. And so April 3rd, 2023 was the official launch date of Serenity Creative Agency. And it was a very scary and intimidating process, but something that has helped A, grow my business, but also learn more about who I am as an entrepreneur and what story I want to be sharing as a business owner. So that's kind of my entrepreneurial journey. But it, again, I tell people it started from making stickers, hand cutting stickers, hand cranking them in the machine. Like, and now here I am working very, very full time. But it's, again, it's one of those things that had COVID not happened, I don't think I would have had the strength to go and do this on my own. But it was very much a, I don't want to be in this kind of box that this 9-to-5 was putting me in. And how can I create a life that's really going to fulfill me both professionally and creatively as well, because I have that kind of creative background.
Oh my goodness. That's such an incredible story, Santina. And, you know, we've been fortunate to hear bits and pieces of that along the journey as well, but getting to hear you talk about it from, you know, that initial moment of inception of, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm just going to roll with it. And holy heck, what is happening? Things are snowballing. It's just, it's so magical to get to hear you talk about it and to see your face light up as you're doing it, because it's so clear that this is a passion, you know, an initial passion project that has turned into a lifestyle and our livelihood, essentially. So kudos to you, first of all, and happy almost birthday at time of recording for me.
Yeah, we're coming up on 1 full year. It's crazy.
That's wild, eh? Yeah, I always find it so interesting how what goodness can come out of just trusting, or like you said, enjoying the process. Or as I speak, I'm looking down at my computer and seeing the trusting the process sticker of ours that we collaborated on as well. But it does take a lot of trust, and hearing you talk about that fear and that not loneliness, but, you know, solo approach to it and maybe not being aware of what that community is backing you is, can be very vulnerable and can be very scary, like you mentioned. And I appreciate your vulnerability, because I think there are a lot of people who have been there before or who are still there, you know, myself included. I want to sit there for a little bit more. There's a billion other questions that are coming up, and we'll get to them all. But can we talk about some of those challenges a little bit more? When you were flowing through that, or also transitioning in from Santina Stickerbox to Serenity Creative Agency, what were the main challenges of getting started in that field, or just in general?
The first thing, and probably what I was most concerned about, was the name of the rebrand. Like, what am I going to name this company? Keeping in mind, like, for me, having my name, I knew I no longer wanted to have my name in the company, just because how I kind of saw the agency growing was, it's not always going to be me. I want to hire a team. I want to hire employees. So for me, it was like, how can I, during this rebrand, still keep some of my identity, but also create a name that's going to resonate with my community and with potential clients moving forward. And I didn't want to, again, box myself in. I wanted to kind of keep the essence of what this agency is. And I had this moment to myself where I was like, okay, if all else goes away and it's just me forever with this company, what is it that it is? And to me, the word create was just always on my mind. And I had so many people tell me, you are so creative, like the way your brain, it's the creativity you bring. And I didn't realize it at first, because as an artist, as a musician with this kind of creative brain, it's something that, of course, I've worked on, but you don't realize how much of an asset it is until you meet other people who aren't creative. The best example I always use is my mom. My mom was always like in awe of what I would create and what I would make. And I was like, but don't people all do this? And she's like, no. And so for me, it was really about, how can I create a name that is going to encompass what it is I want to preach, basically. And the biggest question that I ask myself, and something too, when it comes to branding and rebranding, is how do I want to make my clients feel? Because to me, thinking and feeling are kind of two separate things. To me, feelings, you can't fake feelings. Feelings are emotional. They are visceral. And to me, I just want, I've always been saying this when I launched the agency, is I want to eliminate the stress that people have surrounding these creative tasks. Social media, I can see it in people when they come to me like stressed out and they're like, I don't know what to do. For me, I really wanted people to feel the sense of calmness. And so I was like, okay, calm, great. Ease, trying to brainstorm these names, I wanted to start with the word S. And so I would go on. It sounds so silly. You know how people are like searching up baby names? I went on so many like baby name things, just looking at different words. And when I would read the word, I would notice how I would feel, right? And the word serenity, to me, I was just like, oh my, I loved it. It was beautiful. And so I started to test it out. I would tell a few friends, and some of them would kind of throw me off and say, is that Satina, owner of Serenity? And I was like, did you just use the name? I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, I liked how that sounded. So I started to, again, the people in my circle just started to test it out. And all of them were like, this is it. This is really good. So I think that was probably the hardest thing, was figuring out what the heck to name it, knowing that this would be the name kind of moving forward, then creating the brand around it as well. And it's funny because I guess I've gone through the new brand from the sticker box, but then also an updated rebrand of Serenity. Because when I first launched, it was all neutrals. It was calming. I was like, I wanted to the website just have beiges and neutrals, maybe a bit of blue, but I wanted it to be very neutral-esque. And it was a few months ago in the summer, once things really started to like roll and I was elevating clients, taking on bigger projects, I was like, I think we're outgrowing this beige. And I was like, we are now at this new level to where I really want to speak to the professionalism, the classiness, just this like elegance, but still having that essence of calmness and ease when working with us. So it all really boils down to how I wanted to make people feel and then trying to find people to test that on first before doing the big launch.
I love the transitions of how even within your rebrand, there's still elements of growth and redevelopment, and still like there's still places to go that you haven't reached a finish line yet, it sounds like, which is really fantastic for anybody who's pursuing anything that they love. But when you're a business owner, when you see that there's endless inspiration and, you know, new possibilities, that just keeps you excited and wanting to keep on going. And you've built such a beautiful brand. Your Instagram page across social media is just, it's incredible. And even as somebody who has watched you go through those phases, it's still like, I don't know how you do it and make it so cohesive. It's wonderful to hear. I didn't know like how important community was to you. And in listening to your story, there have been elements of community, whether it's beta testing with your circle around you, whether it's the community of friends and family that you had that initially pushed you in this direction or gave you the confidence to say, hey, maybe I can take this seriously. And then you putting that confidence forward to help other people to find it within themselves that, hey, this is possible. I can achieve this. There's this thing that I want to do. Here's how it can be represented. I've met you and I think you're such a great person for what you do. Here's how it can translate onto social media. And I think that's an incredible skill and community building skill as well moving forward. So I have kind of a question around maybe some tips or advice that you might give to somebody who's looking to begin and might feel a little anxious, who might feel a little timid or not know how to make steps toward communicating their brand on social media and express what it is that they're passionate about through that medium.
Brand, to me, branding, it's identity, right? You have to think about when somebody says your business name or talks about you, how do you want them to perceive you and the business? And so I always preach like marketing is storytelling, brand is storytelling. What story? My first tip would be to figure out what that story is. What is your brand's mission? What is your brand's vision? What are your goals? Who are you helping? Why are you helping them? Really, really target your ideal client down like as specific as you can, because that's then where you're going to get to know those pockets that then you're able to fill. So figuring out kind of what you want to tell through your branding, and then to experiment and to really have fun with it. Figure out imagery. What comes to mind when you think about your business? What do you want people to think about? What, whether it's elements, whether it's colors, put that all down on a brainstorming sheet and try different things and see what resonates with you first and what doesn't, right? Right away, you're going to know. And I always say with marketing as well, figuring out what doesn't work is just as, if not more important than figuring out what does. Sounds kind of corny, but if you do not believe in yourself or fake belief in yourself, that people are going to be able to read that right away. I've noticed even myself, like when I think back to 2020 to where I am now, even as a human being, I feel as though my confidence has really strengthened because I've had to show up as a business owner. And I've had to be confident with what I'm putting out there online, what I'm helping my clients with. If we're able to believe it ourselves, it's going to be so much easier to communicate to our audience. Whatever is coming to mind when you think about what it is you do, what speaks to you as a business owner, that's what you're going to have to communicate to people as well. So figuring out to kind of break it down who your target audience is, what your mission is, what you want, what problem you're solving with your business, and then figuring out, okay, what comes to mind? What colors, what elements, what images? And then just to try different ideas, try different combinations until it really resonates with you. Create a few options, put them on different pages, come back to them 24 hours later and see if they have the same feeling that they did when you first created them. Because you're kind of in this like workshop-y zone, more business-minded zone, versus when you come look at it with fresh eyes, or if you give it to a friend or a partner and they kind of look at it, that's the information that is going to help you really establish a strong brand. But at the end of the day, for me and what I kind of tell my clients is it's how we're making people feel with your identity and your branding. And so the way we communicate that through color, through imagery, is kind of the supportiveness of the message that you're sending to your clients and customers.
That's so well said, Santina. I really enjoy listening to you speak about marketing because I think, like you said, if you don't consider yourself to be a creative or you don't recognize that ability in you, or it's just not a skill that you perceive yourself having, it can be really daunting. The way that you talk about it is really exciting, and it's fun, and it's explorative, and it's almost just that extension of your creativity or of you and your authentic self. So I really appreciate that because I think it's easy to get pulled into the daunting pieces.
I gave a marketing workshop over the summer, and I love the analogy of using as marketing and branding is you're a kid in a candy store. There are a million things you can do, but it's figuring out what is step one, what is step two. When clients come to me with social media specifically, we're going to start with one thing. And then when we're good with one thing, we're going to add another thing. We can take the time to put out exactly what we feel and that we want to. You could create anything. And that is so overwhelming. And that can sometimes be daunting as well. But the second you just try your best to enjoy the process or practice enjoying the process of it as well, that it really does help shape the experience to be an extension of your company and your business.
You know, there's one piece that you had said just before that, along the same vein of not feeling the confidence that you now feel, you know, that difference of the journey of when you started back in 2020 to where you feel in this role, and in your business right now. That's something that I really deeply resonate with. That's something that I've heard from a lot of music therapists and other professionals. And, you know, we were talking about it before we actually got on the recording of how do you plug yourself? How do you just get up there on the megaphone and say, this is what I'm doing and you need to listen to it because it'll help you and X, Y, Z, and just really be your own biggest fan. I'm just curious if you can talk a little bit more about what that journey has been like for you, or what's been helpful for you, maybe a little piece of advice of that others listening might be able to take a page out of your book on.
Imposter syndrome will never go away, and I have accepted that, but I have started to recognize and practice ways to deal with it. My favorite phrase is to practice being brave. And this actually came from one of the placements I did in my final year of B.Ed, which was all online. It was in a drama classroom. And I remember my host teacher, Miss McMillan, she was like, we're going to practice being brave. And so that has really been just like instilled in me to notice and to say, okay, we're going to practice doing this one thing. And again, doing one thing at a time, because as business owners, there's no manual, there's no book that is going to outline your specific entrepreneurial journey. It is something you have to write yourself, which is scary, but also gives you that freedom to show up the way you want to. But I have to say, once I started doing, so I built a lot of my business online during COVID. When things started to come back in person, I started to attend networking events. And that to me right away was, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? I do not feel like I should be here. I don't even have a marketing degree. Like I felt very out of place. But as I practiced showing up in these spaces that made me a little uncomfortable, And I would reward myself afterwards. I would note how I felt afterwards of just being proud of like, I did that. I did that. And it's funny because timing for me is everything as well. And the month, so April, this past April, when I rebranded, I was approached, there was somebody who reached out to me online and was like, hey, I'm a part of this networking group. Do you want to come visit? We don't have a social media manager, but we'd love to have you come out and visit. And it was a BNI group. And there are different chapters in cities. Anyways, this person messaged me and he was like, I've been following you for so long. I think your content's amazing. Come visit this group. Okay, sure. We'll go visit. Not expecting anything, but knowing how terrified I was to be in person talking about myself as a business owner. A week after I had rebranded to Serenity Creative. And so I walked in and right away, probably 25, 30 people there, all established business owners. There were business professionals. And here I am coming in at 24 years old with my social media experience and my creative agency. And it was that meeting where they, first of all, introduced me as Santina, the owner of Serenity Creative Agency, which was the first time I was ever introduced under that title. So that in itself was just like, if all else fails here, if this moment, if I completely fall on my face, all I know is that I was introduced by the new name, which was really cool. In these kind of structured networking events, you have 30 seconds to stand up and to speak about your business and what kinds of business you're looking for. And so this moment of visiting this group, it was one of those moments where I didn't know how much of an impact it would have on me at the time, but also didn't know how much I needed it at that time as well. Because had you told me that I would have to stand up and talk about my business, network, and talk to them about what it is I do, I wouldn't have even gone. I would have said, nope, that's not for me. I'll stick to online. But I was there and I did it. And I joined that group shortly after, and that group in itself has provided me such practice when it comes to communicating and when it comes to showing up as a business owner. This is kind of where it goes into all the like the transferable skills as well that I learned as an artist, as a musician, as an educator, being able to communicate, being able to present even. So joining this group, not only was I doing 30-second pitches every week, I had to meet with members outside of the meeting itself, get to know them. And then also give a featured presentation every 6-7 months or so. And so this was the first time in my life, really, that I had to stand up in front of a group of people and not convince them I'm a business owner, but to say, I'm a business owner and I am worthy of your clients. And that in itself is so hard. And it's still one of these moments where I'm like, is this really happening? Prior to COVID, I was performing, I was on stage, I was running the student council. Asked me to stand up and sing in front of a group of 500 people, no problem. Asked me to say 30 seconds about what I do as a business owner, we're sweating on the drive there. Like, it's a different kind of experience. And it's been such incredible growth for me personally and professionally. And numerous times I've had members just express their kindness and their support towards me, obviously, as a business owner, but also how I've grown as a person as well. And so this group, again, I always say it was the best investment I ever made in my business. It's given me, of course, the referrals have been fantastic, but the mentorship, the guidance, the practice speaking about me as a business owner. And I'm very excited because come April, they have asked me to take over as president of the group. Here I am, just growing as a person, as a business, and they have all seen this growth as well. And so for them to believe that I can stand in front of the members, the visitors, and to act as a like representative of this chapter, I was so shocked. I was so honored, but it's really, really just helped me practice being a business owner and talking about it. So that's really exciting coming April, but it's been a lot of work, but it's rewarding. And to see the response that my contributions to this group have had on the members, that in itself is so fulfilling. So it's been a lot of practicing, but also a lot of celebrating at the same time.
That's awesome. Congratulations, Santina. That's a great achievement. And I know you'll do great in that role. I'm laughing over here too, because part of what you like that whole monologue, if you will, I think that so many music therapists are going to resonate with that because a lot of us branch out into the world of entrepreneurship not with that as a first intention. And I think that we have to grow and develop and practice those skills. Something that a lot of us are very aware of is the fact that we constantly are going to have to explain what it is that we do, and we create elevator pitches around what music therapy is. But I've never thought of creating an elevator pitch for my business. Like, it's always about what music therapy is. But if there's a way to like connect the two, that is an incredible way to think about that. And I'm sure people that attend business school would know that right off the bat, but it is a skill that you have to kind of hone and learn to develop. Speaking to new people, speaking in different kinds of professional settings, the nerves. Thank you for sharing about that, because the nerves are very different between performing in front of people or like using your talents that you have practiced and developed a certain level of proficiency over time. Like, that comes easy after a while because you've done it so much. Same thing for, you know, pitching yourself in your business, just putting in maybe some of that work to practice on those skills and getting comfortable with being uncomfortable with it the first couple of times is necessary to see that growth. But I also love that you talked about the bridge between personal growth and professional growth, which is something that comes up very often on the Able Voice podcast. And so the last two questions we want to ask you are around that connection between personal and professional. And I'm wondering if there's something that you would tell your younger self about your journey, something that you've learned along the way that maybe looking at where you are now, something that you would tell a younger version of you.
Myself as a human being, like Santina, is not the same person as business owner Santina. And in turn, if somebody doesn't want to work with my agency, that's not a reflection of who I am as a person. So I've done a lot of practicing and separating the two of like business Santina versus personal Santina. They're the same person for a lot of the time, but it really is knowing that not everybody's going to want to work with you. You're not going to want to work with everybody either. And it's staying true to who you are on a personal level, but also as a business, and not trying to change that for any clients, because the right clients, the right customers are going to want to work with your business as is. They're not going to try and fix or negotiate or try to manipulate you in any kind of way. And it's okay if they aren't that fit. You're not meant to please everybody, both personally and professionally, which coming from a people-pleasing background was so hard for me at the start. I would do anything to get a client. And now I'm at the point now where I can, sometimes I say no first before a client responds. So I think what I would tell my younger self is that it's okay to be you as you are, and to keep going and to trust your gut in all that you do.
Yes. Snaps. All the snaps. That is such an important and hard truth to swallow, I think, for a lot of people. You know, that reminder of, yes, you know, we are the same person in a lot of respects. We bring that authenticity, yes, but that distinction between it's not me that they're quote unquote rejecting, or that's not a good fit. I think a lot of people have felt that weight of, oh gosh, they hate me, and continuing to stay true to your brand and to stay true to your vision and your values and what you've set up for yourself takes a lot of bravery, a lot of practicing being brave to stay with that. Yeah. So thanks for sharing that, because I know I needed to hear that in that moment. And I think it's a welcome reminder. Staying on this path of our journeys, for you as a person, what do you hope for your future self along this continued journey?
I am in the process of putting myself first, but most importantly, building a life that is going to fulfill and resonate with me first. It's hard, especially with the clients I work for. I want to put them first, But I have to remember that I am only as good as, my business is only as good as how I am running it. So for me personally, I am in the process and constantly working on how can I create a really fulfilled life. And to me, that includes flexibility, that includes work, but also hobbies, and figuring out ways to make all of that possible. And when I think of my business 5-10 years from now, I don't want to be doing everything. I really don't. I want to be able to hire a team so that I have the flexibility if and when I have a family, if and when I want to travel and do other things. So my kind of like grind mode right now, it's like, okay, build it, establish it, and then it's going to help you in the long run with building this life. But even this year, 2023 was still a lot of late nights, working on weekends. It's a lot of work, but this year I'm so excited. I'm going to be back on stage in April as well too. I'm so excited being able to figure out, okay, what do I need as a human being first, knowing that my business is going to be one kind of entity of that. So I know I need my business. I know I need to make money, but I also need the music. I need to fuel that performer bug in me and to enjoy the time with my friends and to build connections that way. So for me, balance is really a word that's resonated with me, especially this year. So to figure out how I can balance all that I'm doing so that it really does fulfill me. And the other thing too is working with my brain as well. I was recently diagnosed with ADHD officially. And so that was such one of these like, oh, of course, it all makes sense. But also one of these like, oh, wow, I didn't realize how the world does not work in my favor. So this has been such a time for me of exploring how my brain works and accepting that it's not going to work the same as neurotypical people. And that's okay. Because I always thought, oh, I had to be in a 9-to-5. That's what you're supposed to do. When in turn, it's like, no, 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 you have the power to create this life. So I'm using my diagnosis as a way to empower what is next in my journey. So I feel as though 2024 for me, it's really going to be that figuring out the balance, figuring out what fills me, and figuring out what elements in my life really, really do resonate with me and kind of all contribute together.
I love that. And I hope that for you as well.
Thank you.
You're such a wonderful human. I think that Kim and I could chat with you all day. I think that our audience is going to fall in love with you as well and definitely want to connect with you. So if they do, how can they get in touch, or what services can they look for from you? Just how can they become part of your community and network?
Absolutely. So we are on Instagram under @SerenityCreativeAgency. So that's a great kind of place to start. And with our services, I kind of group them into marketing and design. So under the marketing kind of tower, most popular is obviously social media marketing, but also doing one-on-one consultations with business owners on their marketing plan and their marketing puzzle piece. And so I'm able to kind of work one-on-one with business owners to figure out, okay, what is your marketing plan? Let's develop that together. And then on the design side of things, we do logo and brand design, brand identity, as well as website design. So making sure that all of your creative elements of your business are working cohesively, they're telling the story they want to tell, and that they're communicating that effectively.
Well, thank you so much, Santina, for sharing all of this with us. There's so much information in this episode, and I know I'm going to have to listen to it several times, and I will enjoy every single second, and I'm certain that our audience will as well. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your wisdom, for your energy, your passion, your light, and we really look forward to continuing to collaborate with you. Before we end, this is a little thing that we started last season. We like to end on a high note. So what we're going to do is I'm going to count to three, and all three of us at the same time are going to try and pick a nice high note and just sing it and embrace the chaos and beauty. Are we ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Thank you for listening to the Able Voice podcast. If you want to hear more episodes like this, subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media @SynergyMusicTherapy.
You can also find links to our most recent and top-rated episodes on our website at www.synergymusictherapy.com.